Zondervan presents Black, White, Other, In Search of Nina Armstrong, by Joan Steinau Lester, read by Bonnie Turpin. To all those who feel any kind of otherness, you do indeed live large lives. May you expand your consciousness to fully inhabit them and someday be grateful for the very otherness that may plague you now. Chapter 1. I'm furiously heaving it all into my green suitcase, the black Nike sweatshirt that I live in, my favorite Oakland A's t-shirt, underwear, jeans, charger, all because I have to go to Dad's place. It'll be my first time staying overnight, and even though I'm 15, he never even asked. Just called and told me I was coming tonight, period. Wow, 15 sounds good. I'm just getting used to it since my birthday last week, but my parents still treat me like I'm 12. I don't want to go, I mutter when I'm halfway to the front door. Mom is curled on the couch under the lamp, head bent over the New Yorker, and petting Rolling Stone, our cat we hardly ever see. Normally he only comes out from who knows where when it's time to eat, but he's lying by Mom as if he knows I'm leaving and wants to comfort her. I've seen tears in her eyes a few times lately, since Dad moved out. Everybody says I'm the clone of my mom, except I'm the tall, tan version with mocha skin, as Dad calls it, and Mom jokes that she's the short, white original. But it's true. We've both got red hair. Mine's curlier and darker with red highlights. The same perfect pitch, the same guitar licks. My face is wider and my cheekbones higher, but we sound exactly alike. When people call and I answer, they start, "Maggie?" I have to interrupt with, "No, it's Nina." Aretha's singing Chain, 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 Chain of Fools, and Mom's humming along, peering up at me. "You know we agreed," she says. "No," I moan. "I never agreed. I was told. Why do I have to go? Don't I get a say in this?" Ever since the day last summer when everything went crazy, Mom and Dad have acted like I'm a robot they can simply program. I want to stay home. "Look, sweetie," she pushes Rolling Stone off her lap. "He's your father. Plus, you haven't seen Jimmy all week." I can tell exactly how Mom feels by simply listening to her breathing. Right now, she's holding her breath, so I know she's lonesome. But what am I supposed to do? "Bye, sweetie," she says softly and glides over. "Give Jimmy a hug. You can pass this one along." She grabs me. "Mom! Call me when you get there, okay? If I go. It's so unfair. If I can't be home, I want to be with my friends, the only sane people on the planet lately. I could go over to Jessica's if you're trying to get rid of me." She presses her lips into a line and slouches back to the couch. Since I can tell this is a losing battle, I start toward the front door, but suddenly I freeze. The air feels different. What is it? Then I see what's missing. Dad's pictures, the ones from the bookshelves and the piano, and even the ones on the wall. He took the Paris prints and the photos of his parents, leaving spaces where the paint is lighter. When did he come to pick up his stuff? When I look back at Mom, she's tiny under the high ceiling of the room, nestled alone in the far corner of the couch. I could help her, keep her company. But here she is shoving me out the door. I slam out, trying to bang the front door, which is hard since I'm dragging my suitcase. I walk fast, the way I do, 5 blocks to the number 62 bus. Everything feels strange today. Even the sun is an odd red color from the fire, as if marking the end of the universe as I know it. Just as I'm coming around the corner, I hear the bus...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?